point, you and I are living even more rampant and abundant. All right, the doctrine of Balaam and Jezebel. Revelation 2, verse 14. Jesus here, writing to the church at Pergamos, says, I have a few things against thee, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam in this church of Jesus Christ. What was it? Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and here was the stumbling block: to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication, and you could still be in the grace of God. They're still teaching it, that you can commit idolatry and fornication, immorality, and say, Lord, I've sinned, I want you to forgive me, and then go back and do it again. God don't forgive anybody until you repent. And that means you quit what you're doing. All right, going down a little further. Verse 20. I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. It's still in the church today, Jezebel's and Balaam's, and the doctrine that they espouse is that you can live in disgrace and still be in the grace of God. You can live disgracefully. You can live with sin in your life. You can commit idolatry and fornication and all types of immorality and world conformity and still be in God's grace. It's impossible, ladies and gentlemen. The grace of God. Listen to the scripture. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And it does more than just bring you salvation. He says it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hey, the grace of God is more than what preachers tell folks it is. It'll teach you you can't do wrong and get by. That if you sin, you're a slave to sin. Jesus said that, John 8:36. He that committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But he that committeth sin is the slave of sin. Let me tell you, we must give up our sins and not listen to these compromisers and Balaams and Diotrephes that are out here preaching people out of the kingdom of God, instead of preaching them into the kingdom where there's liberty and light, where there's a blameless life, a sanctified holy life, that you can live in the grace of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said to the blind leaders, the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 15 and 14, he said, leave them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Pray for them. What do you want to pray for a blind man for? No. You got to associate yourself with a man of God that'll pray for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's God's way for you to have the victory. God wants you to get out here and work and be a light in the darkened world, the sick society you're in. But God don't expect you to stay on your knees all night and pray while that lazy preacher lays over the parson's air conditioner blowing over him, or off to a party or some convention getting fat and sassy while you working and laboring and getting a little sleep, you praying for that sorry thing. No way. You know what God says to do? Withdraw yourself. Get away from him. You don't pray for him. You leave him. Praise God. The Bible speaks of that in the New Testament much, but let me show you what the Old Testament says about it in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. It's a very wonderful revelation here. Verse 21, the pastors are become brutish. They've not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and their flock shall be scattered. They certainly won't. All right, Lamentations. That's the Lamentations of Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 13. For the sins of her prophets and the iniquity of her priests, they have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. When you see a church become Laodicean or world conforming, as the church of Revelation 3, 14, Jesus said that was spewed out of his mouth, because they say they're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, but know not that they're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. When you see a church in that condition, The cause of it is that 6-foot icicle that's in the pulpit, and he is a Pharisee. A man of God cannot pastor a dead church. If he's lively, he'll resurrect the church even if it's dead. Praise God. They've got to be resurrection alive like old Elisha. He had so much resurrection in him, the prophet back in 2 Kings, when they buried him, they threw a man in his sepulcher. They started war. The Syrians invaded them, and a soldier got killed, and they had to run to get away, and they just threw the soldier in the sepulcher of Elisha. And when his body hit the bones of Elisha, he was resurrected, and he ran and passed them. You get a man that's alive for God, got the Spirit of God in him. He's sanctified, he's holy, a praying man, and he preaches the word. He's going to be like that old bunch of dry bones over there in Ezekiel 37 that the prophet was preaching to, and the Lord said, "Can these bones live?" He said, "Oh, Lord God, you know." He said, "Prophesy upon these bones, for these are the house of Israel. And say, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And while he preached, he said, bone came to bone. And he kept prophesying. And the flesh came upon them. And breath came in them. And they stood upon their feet an exceeding great multitude. Praise God, the old church was resurrected because the preacher had God's message and anointing on his life. Lord, have mercy. You got an old sinning church, you got a dead church. No matter if they sing like angels and coo like doves, that is not the victory. Praise God. Isaiah, here's a revealing message from this prophet. Isaiah 56 in verse 9. He said, "All you beasts of the field come to devour. All you beasts in the forest. His watchmen are blind." That's the preachers. They're all ignorant. They're dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping. Lying down. Loving to slumber. Sounds like preachers, don't it? You folks ain't never lived around preachers like I have. God, have mercy. I've been putting up with them for over 40 years. Aggravating things. Always want to eat, lay around, go to one of these R&R camps. Recreation and relaxation. They want an old golf club or something. He's got high blood pressure and fallen arches and his spindly leg and knock-kneed and pigeon-toed and anemic and dwarfed and everything else. And he wouldn't get out and mow his yard. The church got to hire somebody to mow a little piece of grass somewhere in front of the church around the parsonage. No wonder he said they're like a bunch of dumb dogs. They're greedy dogs which can never have enough. They always love money. They're shepherds that cannot understand. You know why? They all look for their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarter. He looks at it from his own standpoint of what am I going to get out of it? Where's the gain that I will, you know, accomplish? Well, I have more when I leave than when I came. A shepherd, a real man of God, he receives from the Lord and he gives freely of himself, of the gifts of God that are exercised through his life through faith and love. The gift of healing, the gift of discernment many times. That's a bad gift, too. Try to find out what's wrong with him. You won't tell him he has to pray and seek God. That gift of discerning of spirits begins to operate. And he says, hey, something you need in your life here. I'm going to have to rebuke you now and tell you what you need. You got a bad old attitude. Oh, now, preacher, you're going to meddling instead of preaching. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. What are you supposed to do? I'm supposed to meddle. That's right. Man of God has to meddle. 1 Corinthians 2:15 said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judging no man. That means he discerns things in your life. Didn't mean he goes around judging like God. He judges you if you're right or wrong, if there's a need in your life, if there's a sin in your life. God have mercy. You're not a greedy dog. He's not around worried about where he's going to get his money. I'd rather go out and get a job and work than I had to sit around and beg somebody out of the money. PTL. Oh, we need more money. Oh, Roberts. If I don't get $8 million, God's going to take me home. An old boy wrote in a paper here in Jacksonville during that crisis. He says, I believe it'd be better he'd take Brother Oral home and leave the rest of us down here to go on. He said, just in case some of you folks are secular-minded, when he says taking you home, now, he didn't mean like a mama calls you up and wants you to come over and have chicken and biscuits or something. Said he's talking about another going home. That is, he said, if you're secular-minded. In other words, talking about dying. Hey, God's men don't need no such a money as that to preach. It don't take that much money to get a message out, and he don't have any message to get out to start with. And that's the trouble. Everybody that gets the money don't have a message. There ain't no message from God's Word on PTL. There ain't no message of God on Oral Roberts' broadcast. And the most of them don't have a message. All they do is get up there and they just got to raise it, a money-raising campaign. Testimonies and a little bit of singing or something or another, a little drama from some guest they got on the program that makes, you know, adds to their comfort or prestige, but never the dynamic preaching of God's Word and showing men their sins and commanding them to repent or perish, like God Almighty says it in the Bible. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in deep trouble in the Church of the Living God.